If you want God power, you must have God. Christ is the presence of God in you. And you will never find Christ trapped inside a physical human body. There are two reasons for this. One is that Christ is your infinite spiritual self. And the second is that never has there been a material body on the spiritual earth. Another truth worthy of your consideration is this. Whatever God creates is infinite and living as your omnipresent self in the ever-present and eternal now. Do you hear the fullness of those words? You are all life. All life is you. There is nothing in the spiritual universe that is not you. You will have to dwell with that for many days and nights until something radiates through you with such power that the meaning of oneness assumes dimensions hitherto unknown. Whatever God does not create, whether it be a whirlwind, a blizzard, a disease, or a wreck on the highway, a mongoloid or a healthy mortal, a beautiful waterfall, or a polluted river, be still and know that only invisible spirit is the reality of all that you see. And for you, the dead will rise from their graves. I'm going to have to turn to some of the practical things of life for the moment. I hate that word practical when spirit is practical. But there has been much talk about problems all the time. And I'm quite sure that with these problems, you'll do better if you have a solution for them so that you can get on with your spiritual transformation. Human illusions run very deep. Your throat may choke up the sight of someone you love suffering. But know that you are looking at an image in past time, all in the mind. And you are looking at the suffering person from an image in past time. also in mind. Can you detach yourself from these images of the patient and yourself as the healer? And see that in the allness of spirit, that loved one and you can never change in time. You can never be separated into physical bodies with distance between you. You are both always alive. In the quickening of your spirit, you will feel this oneness as a now reality, as eternal as God itself. And when you know the incorporeality of yourself and of your loved one through the experience of incorporeality, you are walking with angels. And your new understanding of spirit and spiritual reality will be evidence that the Christ mind is taking over your consciousness. The illusions of material limitation will be lifted. Your single eye will perceive reality without a human veil. Literally, your soul will behold God's perfect universe. And henceforth, from the infinity of your spiritual substance, omniscience will bring forth whatever is needed to appear on earth for you in whatever form you may need. Many Bible miracles present this truth in the Christ healings. Actually, Christ is enacting the transmutation from incorporeality in spirit to manifestation of spirit into what you consider physical appearance. Christ is showing the inner workings of this transmutation process through healing. And from these demonstrations, we learn how Christ invisibly manifests divine will in the daily lives of the sons of light. Your consciousness of the presence of Christ, made possible by your liberation from corporeality and the illusions of corporeality, unites you with this infinite process, and you become a true beholder of the living creation. I think you will discover that whoever makes a sincere effort to let divine will express in him and through him has already discovered the power of divine transmutation. When you withdraw your will, however great the temptation to manipulate or influence situations that seem to be working against you and to turn them toward your advantage, when you overcome this influence, this temptation, And when you fully release your concepts of how you think God should express in the material world, and whether it be for a healing of body or supply or whatever, you'll discover the source of King Solomon's wisdom. Solomon knew that God is the only mind in the universe. And it was that mind in Solomon which expressed his wisdom without forming a concept, without forming a graven image, of the result that Solomon desired. When he stepped out of the belief in corporeal form and took no mortal thought, he simply trusted his own infinite spirit to perform the Christ miracle in its own way, in its own time. So if you need a healing, first, seek incorporeality. Seek spiritual substance. For every so-called healing must begin in the divine creation. Did you realize that? Your healing must begin in the divine creation. So if you turn to your mortal mind, or to anyone's mortal mind, you're shutting out the divine presence, which alone can furnish the miracle substance of spirit, which restores the lost years of the locusts. So let's look at some simple healing truths. For bodies and for pockets. Spirit never needs healing. If you're the patient, or you're working for another individual, the backbone of Christ healing begins with the instant knowledge that you are not healing matter. You are not healing material imperfection or mental imperfection. If you're trying to heal human flesh or human organs, you have taken the first false step. If you're trying to repair a human body or a human mind, you have already accepted an imperfect creator and a second creation, and you are heading down the wrong path. It will take all your spiritual integrity, alertness, and determination to recognize and hold fast to the radical truth that you have no patient out there. This is important. You have no patient out there. Jesus never healed a material person. We thought he did. Our senses told us he did. And thousands of healing reports have come to us, but never once did Jesus accept that God created or permitted a single imperfection? Dwell on that until you understand that he was not influenced by the sight of lepers, cripples, or blind men. Nor was he saddened by the grief of those who mourned for their loved ones. Instead of healing imperfect creatures with defective bodies or minds, he honored the perfect Son of God where the patient stood. And where he stood, he accepted each man as the perfect spiritual creation of God, living under God's perfect spiritual law. And therefore, he never had a patient. They could appear blind, crippled, or even dead to material human sense. But Jesus held fast to the cardinal rule of spiritual sonship. Spirit never needs healing. Who convinceth me of sin? There's no sick person, there's no sinner here. Only the Spirit of God stands before me. And with this unchanging spiritual consciousness, thousands walked away from him whole. My daughter is dying, said one. My son is on the verge of death, said another. My brother has died, said the sisters of Lazarus. These claims were thrust upon him. But there was no frantic response. He even waited 4 days before approaching the tomb of Lazarus. How can spirit be on the verge of death? How can spirit die? Can spirit even be in pain? Can spirit have hardening of the arteries? You see, nothing ever moves Christ from spiritual integrity to human sympathy or fear for an individual's life. Why? Because he worshipped the God of spirit, who created man in his own spiritual image and likeness. He knew no man after the flesh, because God had never made one. Ah, but he had still another secret, a secret which enabled him to perceive the living spirit of the adulteress, the woman with an issue of blood, and even Lazarus lying dead in the tomb. And this was a secret, and must become your secret. Jesus had no personal eye. He was the spirit that he recognized in all men. And only as spirit could he recognize the spiritual wholeness of all who approached him. Only by recognizing the infinite nature of spirit without opposite could he maintain the purity of oneness with his source, which transcends human concepts of death and vulnerability to defects in time, space, and matter. Spirit needs no healing, and you are spirit. Your so-called patient is not there. Spirit is there. In every so-called healing by Christ Jesus, you will discover there is no reaction expressed by Jesus at the beginning of each healing incident. No reaction ever. No reaction is the way that you accept the spiritual reality of the person who appears to need help. No reaction means no fear, no panic, no emotional upheavals. You first meet the claim with a calm detachment that your Father's spiritual creation is all that is present and it needs no help. There is no other creation. You must practice this again and again and again. When you can swallow the lump in your throat and your solar plexus stops doing a somersault, you may find, to your surprise, that you have passed the first step in overcoming the hypnosis of the world mind. The same principle does not change when you face lack of supply or lack of employment or lack of companionship. Imperfection has no creator. Just think of this for a moment and apply it to lack of supply, lack of employment, lack of companionship. Those would be imperfections. But imperfection has no creator. You're looking at spirit, and spiritual perfection through material eyes, and you are not seeing what is there. You think you lack material supply, but that isn't what you lack. You think you lack material employment. You think you lack material companionship. But what do you lack? You lack spiritual awareness, spiritual consciousness. Translate the visible situation back to substance, back to its reality. Is there a lack of supply in spirit? Is not spirit the real substance of all form? Is not matter your concept of form? So let's get back to basics. Silently go within to your spiritual center, and there realize spirit is all there is. Look through these images, lack of this, lack of that. spirit is all there is. Don't get the cart before the horse. Get back to the spirit. Drop all the material thoughts about supply, employment, companionship. Drop them. Acknowledge the spiritual nature of God's creation. Rest there. In the stillness of your mind, you rest peacefully, easily, confidently. Rest. Until you feel your mental waves dissolving. Until you feel your soul waves rising up in a change of consciousness. You're going through what Joel called the click, by which he signifies a change of consciousness in which your soul overshadows your mind. When you feel this subtle change of inner atmosphere, it won't be long before your outer world subtly changes. Supply will appear. Spirit will manifest spiritually, and the spiritual manifestation will appear as form in the material world. A form that supplies your need. That will be a need that Spirit has prepared for you, and a fulfillment that Spirit has prepared for you. It may not be dollars. It may not be stocks or bonds. It may not be a uranium mine. But it can be anything translated from invisible spirits through the transmutation process into the appearance of your need fulfilled. So with employment, it too will appear in unexpected ways. Little connections that become big connections that lead to remarkable relationships that usually last quite a long time. Oh no, we didn't forget companionship. Without your effort, it will materialize. In ways you know not of. But the secret lies in your understanding that there are no material situations in God. That there are no material conditions in God's creation. That there are no material deficiencies in God. Honor the spiritual universe, and only the spiritual universe. For it is the only universe there is. Do not make the mistake of seeking matter or persons. Instead, identify the spiritual universe around you and the omniscience of spirit. Will fulfill your need from its omnipresent storehouse in ways far beyond human expectations. Is that clear? It is probably difficult to understand and realize that soul healing seems to go the other way than the natural way. But you see, in soul healing, we do not do what comes naturally. We do not seek or aim directly at material targets. Instead, we acknowledge only the presence of the spiritual creation. And we never acknowledge both spirit and matter. We accept absolutely nothing that denies the totality of spirit without opposite. We reject mortality because it denies the totality of spirit. We reject imperfection because it denies the perfection of spirit everywhere. We reject conditions because they deny the omnipresence of unconditioned spirit. We worship spirit. We have one God. This is what we practice, day in, day out, until the living spiritual creation is real to us. Until the Spirit of God, though invisible, becomes the substance of our consciousness. And it becomes the invisible, undivided substance of every person, animal, form, and object that we see. Daily we test ourselves by watching the false material images of this world without reaction. Daily we know there is no spirit and me. Have you done that? Are you practicing there is no spirit and me? There is only I, spirit. There is no spirit and you. There is only I, spirit. There is no spirit and mankind. No spirit and personality. There is only I, spirit. I is an infinite word. I is everywhere. Daily, we maintain the knowledge that omnipresent spirit is pure, changeless, unconditioned, always the image and likeness of perfect God. Everywhere is the image and likeness of perfect God, invisibly. and it is the only reality in creation. Daily, we remain alert to the temptations to believe that the infinite Creator had a lapse of memory and forgot to maintain 100% purity in His spiritual creation. Daily, we remind ourselves that perfect divine power is always functioning. Daily we stand in that holy consciousness which rejects every appearance of imperfection and instantly dismisses the temptation to improve matter, human flesh. Our function is to develop the living consciousness which knows that false images can never get outside the false world mind. That false images can never breed in the Christ mind, and to bear true witness to the infinite spiritual creation of God. With this daily practice, we become true servants of God, upholding the spiritual identity of everyone. This developed consciousness, constantly increasing our soul receptivity to the divine master plan, we are lifted to that altitude of fidelity which attains transition to eternal life, even while still appearing in the garment of mortal flesh. Now I am spirit, living in the spiritual universe. And therefore, I am not living in a material universe. This material concept is a lie about who I am and where I am. Spirit can only live in a spiritual universe. I must make that correction assiduously. Eventually, unceasingly. To be what I am, I must be living where spirit lives. Spirit and matter do not occupy the same space and time. Space is a mental substitute for infinity. Time is a mental substitute for eternity. God is infinite and eternal. By falling into the trap of space and time, I automatically acknowledge another presence than God. In that unthinking belief, in the presence of space and time. I deny the presence of infinity, eternality, spirit. And I squander the life force on a concept without life, without power, without substance. I live the imitation of life, which ultimately leads to the experience of death. This is not our direction. Now I am spirit, always alive. I am composed of nothing that dies. I am the eternal substance of life. No longer deceived by mortal sense, by corporeality. No longer denying incorporeal God as my source. No longer in a time sense that gives me a false transient life, or a space sense that puts me in a finite corporeal form and imprisons me in a three-dimensional universe of physical matter. Spirit is none of these limited concepts. Spirit does not die. Carefully, I am working out my salvation from the false web of senses that deny spiritual allness and spiritual identity. I am learning how to be true to truth, the truth of spiritual perfection now, one with the one infinite spirit now, as taught by Christ Jesus and other masters of divine wisdom. And as I honor my spirit, which is a son of God, I honor the one self of the universe, which gives me the kingdom of eternal life. I live in my spiritual kingdom, and so do my neighbors, though they know it not. And I honor them in my spiritual kingdom. I honor my neighbor's spirit as my own. I honor the Father who sent us. I honor the indivisible oneness of spirit, and great is my reward. For the spirit I honor, honors me. I honor not faces and forms, not personalities, not only friends and relatives, but persons who share my beliefs. For spirit is a universal brotherhood that transcends division. Only to that degree that I see the one in the many does the infinite self manifest the treasures of the kingdom in my experience. What I do to the least of these, my brethren, I do unto the Father. This Christ reminded his disciples. Joel also expressed this on page 81, 91, I think, and living between two worlds. It very quickly becomes apparent that the truth revealed to us of our identity and of our access to omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence must be a universal truth, because it is impossible to personalize infinity or eternality. Thereby we are reconciled to one another and to all mankind. But if we leave one brother out of this spiritual family, we are disowning part of God's universe. To all of you, deepest love, appreciation for your fidelity in following the Christ word. May we all meet in several months in our final preparation for the great day in 88, when Spirit holds us in a oneness called San Diego. Much love until then.